With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
So pleased to be joined by one of the new exciting talents in Major League Soccer. He is Aliyu Ibrahim. Aliyu, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Glavin. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, pleasure to meet you too. So I wanted to take you into areas about your career so people can learn a little bit more about you. Tell me about your football influences growing up in Nigeria.
Yeah, I was in Nigeria back in the days playing for academy, you know, and I played for a national team under 20. And from there, I went to Croatia, the Lokomotiv Zagreb.
Aliyu Ibrahim joining us here. So when you grew up, did you know of all these famous Super Eagles, you know, the JJ Okochas, the Kanu? I mean, I'm assuming you knew all these guys.
Yeah, I heard about them. They were great players. You know, they play really good for. They helped the Nigerian national team, and I heard a lot about them.
So when I look at you, when I see Nigerians, I always see people that are smiling and happy people. They seem very happy. Is that how you play your football also?
Yeah, we are happy. You know, we always smile, and it's good to be happy.
Is it important to be happy when you play football?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So let's talk. And again, we're talking to Aliyu Ibrahim. So when you go to Lokomotiva in Croatia, boy, this is a big change from Nigeria to go to Croatia, right?
Yeah, it is. Big one.
How challenging was it? And what were some of the things that were difficult to maybe get used to?
Of course, the weather, you know. Is very cold, and I'm not used to that. In Nigeria, is very hot, you know, and a little bit difficult. You know, the only thing is the weather.
How about the food and the culture and the type of football? Was it much different?
Yeah, it is different, but the food. I think the food is not like so much different because they have a. Pasta, they have a rice, and we do have that in Nigeria. So, yeah.
He's new signing Aliyu Ibrahim. He has been scoring goals in the Open Cup. He will be looking forward to scoring more in Major League Soccer. Winger or striker, which is your favorite position? Central or wide?
Center. That's my natural position since when I was in Nigeria. You know, when I went to Croatia, like, they saw I'm a bit fast, and they said, okay, we can use him as a right winger, you know, and that's how I start playing from the wing.
When you were in Croatia, were the defenders tough? What did you learn from playing against, you know, Eastern European defenders?
Yeah, they are pretty good, you know. Yeah. Of course, you know. Sometimes it's difficult to play against some defenders. Sometimes it's easier, you know. That's how the game is.
Were they physical over there, like MLS?
Yes, they are. They are.
How do you handle a physical defender? What can you do when somebody's obviously trying to put you off your game mentally and physically, you know, by kicking you and things? How do you handle that?
I think the only thing I can do is if he's more stronger than me, the only thing I can do is to run with him. You know, it's better to take the ball in space and run. He cannot, if he's not faster, then it's easier for me if I'm faster than him. Yeah.
He's Aliyu Ibrahim. So you've only been here a short amount of time. You fit in very quickly. You adapted very quickly, which I would maybe think since you've already had the experience of going to Croatia. What are your thoughts on Major League Soccer and the type of play comparatively to Croatia, and how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, there's so many good teams here, so many good players, and is a good league, you know, and I'm happy with my teammates, and they understand me very quick, and I get to understand them like very quick. So that's, I think, easier for me to play in the team.
He's Aliyu Ibrahim. He's played for the youth national team of Nigeria, the Super Eagles. We got a big Nigerian community in Houston. I'm waiting for the flags to come at the Dynamo home games with Nigerian flags down there. So I'm looking forward to seeing that for you when you're playing. If I speak to you about the upcoming big announcement which came out, Lionel Messi coming to Major League Soccer, is that something that is exciting for you to potentially play against him?
It is, of course, it is. He's, I think, the best player in the world, and to play against Messi is something that I'm looking for. You know, I'm very excited, you know, to play.
Were you surprised when you heard he was coming, or did you think it was going to happen? Just curious.
I'm surprised, of course, and you know, when he's coming, and I feel like I'm happy to see Messi. And I play the league, like I'm playing in the same league with Lionel Messi. Is something that I'll be excited with.
Yeah, I think there's a few players around the league who are going to be thinking about that. And then you think of all the attention that will come to the league because of Messi's here, and all of you guys will get that attention as well.
Yeah, of course. So many people will watch the league, and yeah.
Now, were you aware before you came to Houston, and we're talking to Aliyu Ibrahim, the Dynamo striker, were you aware of the amount of people from Nigeria that are in Houston?
Yeah, I heard about that. There is a lot of Nigerians here. I had like, I don't know, 100 and something. I don't know, like 100,000, 50,000 Nigerians here.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Big, 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 big numbers.
Yeah.
You know, talking about the Dynamo this year, very good at home, struggles on the road. What do you think the road problems are in Major League Soccer play?
I really don't know. I cannot say anything about the, like.
It's hard to put a finger on it, right? It's hard to.
Yeah. I cannot say anything, but the only thing is to focus and concentrate, you know, to give everything when we're going to away games, and that's important things, you know.
Yep.
Try and get some points away.
Aliyu, when we talk about the upcoming season and the way it's been going and your adaptation to it, are you settled? Are you settled in the community? I mean, it's hard when you get here right away. You're thrust into training. You're trying to figure out where to live. And all of that, has that been challenging, or is that all settled now for you?
Yeah, everything is settled now. Yeah, it's not too much difficult, but yeah, it's okay. I'm settled now.
You're comfortable. Okay,
yeah.
I'm not going to do too much more, but you know, I look at your movement, and obviously you're a threat to get behind people vertically. You run these channels beautifully. You can get turned and get your own shot off. You've got a lot of great qualities that have been so exciting to watch. How important is the amount of runs that you make and the quality of them? Because you seem to be able to make a lot more runs than the normal person to receive the ball and be a target for, you know, Hector, Coco, and Amin.
Yeah, that's my style of play. That's how I know how to, you know, I the easier way to play for me is to make the runs, you know. And there is a lot of space, and the coach also wants me to do that, then it's good for me to be doing it in every game.
Can you see in a game when you're making a lot of these runs that it wears on the defender mentally? It, you know, oh, here he goes again, you know?
Yeah. Of course, they will be like, you know, they'll be tired. You know, sometimes defenders will be like, I'm running all the time, and sometimes they'll get tired, and it's good for me to be doing that always.
Aliyu, thank you so much for coming on tonight. We really appreciate it. Pleasure to meet you. Look forward to seeing continued success for you, both personally and the Dynamo. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Nice to meet you too.
Yeah, pleasure to meet you too. That is the Dynamo striker. He is Aliyu Ibrahim. He comes over from Lokomotiva in Croatia. Excellent player, and I think a bright future in Major League Soccer. One to definitely come down to the stadium and see. Take a break here. DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. DaspitLaw.com, presenting you Soccer Matters. All right, former U.S. men's national team center back. You catch him calling games on Apple when it comes to Major League Soccer. He is Marcelo Balboa. He joins us now. Marcelo, how are you?
You know, Glenn, first-time caller, first-time listener. I'm just here today, so.
Listen, we got a Soccer Matters t-shirt on the way to you right now, courtesy of Lamont Brands. All right, let's get on to it right now. Leo Messi to MLS. What do you think about all this? Being confirmed by a number of outlets.
You know, after listening to the project of everything what Argentina national team wants to do, the Federation wants to do in Miami, the rumors of him being brought into Inter Miami and then being loaned out to Barcelona so he can finish his career at Barcelona too. So here's the deal. As long as it makes sense for the league and it makes sense for Apple and it makes sense for the teams, then why not? You know what I mean? Eventually we'd all like to see Ronaldo in this league. And but at the end of the day, listen, if that's what Miami feels that it's going to help them draw attention to themselves and it's going to help them try, because the important thing is not to draw attention to yourself, it's to win a freaking championship. That's what you're bringing Messi in. So as long as you're doing that, because Beckham came in, struggled the first year, but he won championships here. Now the idea is Miami's bringing Messi in because they want to win. That's going to be that. When Messi comes in, that's what we're going to base everything off is, did Miami win a championship?
Leo Messi to Major League Soccer. It's a hot topic right now. A lot of people say potentially he could be loaned back to Barcelona, like Marcelo said. But look, the bottom line is Miami, Inter Miami needs a spike. They're amongst the lowest in the league in attendance. They have had not very consistent soccer teams. They snuck into the playoffs once. They've fired Gary Neville. So as much as this would make sense for Apple and selling jerseys and, of course, Adidas, this is also about trying to brand Inter Miami, right?
Well, one, I got in trouble the other day. They parted ways mutually. So Miami. Yeah, you know what? We all want to see Messi, let's be honest. And I think he's going to bring a huge spike to this league, just like Beckham did. World Cup champion, the best player in the world. But again, I think we're all going to come down to, sure, we're all going to get our Miami, and I'll be the first one in line, I'm not going to lie, to get my Miami Messi jersey for my son and me. But at the end of the day, it's about winning championships. You want to bring a spike to the fans and the stands, and I get it's going to happen all over the league. But at the end of the day, if Beckham wouldn't have won a championship, I mean, he would have got a lot of criticism, right? And the thing with Messi bringing in, if Miami doesn't do things well, because it's not about bringing in Messi, it's a supporting cast. Where and how are you going to get money to build him surrounding players that can do what they need to do for him to be able to feed them balls and find them balls? Because let's be honest, most teams are going to mark him. Most teams are going to kick him. This is a physical league, so I think it's not just about Messi. It's about the surrounding talent you bring in to support the best player in the world.
Marcelo, I heard you say this is about winning championships. But when you look at MLS overall, is it really about winning championships?
Listen, when you bring in David Beckham, you didn't bring in David Beckham just to say, thanks for coming, David, to make this league better. Or did they LA bring him in because they thought they could win championships and he would be a big part of the Landon Donovan, Robbie Keane, Marcelo Sarvis, Janinho, Omar Gonzalez, let's be honest. There was a supporting cast. Now, when you talk about bringing in Messi, you're not bringing in Messi to say, yeah, okay, we want marketing and we want to make this the best league in the world. Listen, there's no better marketing than I'm going to hold my little cup of coffee over my head. And that's Messi holding up an MLS cup. Imagine that image all over the world, all over the world, Glenn. That's what that image is about. That's what you're betting on. That's what you're banking on. That's what you need to get. So how can you do that by bringing in surrounding players that are going to make that team more successful?
Marcelo Balboa joining us, former U.S. men's national team captain, played in a number of World Cups, Apple TV.
Do you disagree? All right. I
go back to when Beckham came, and Beckham to me, and obviously I'm a little bit older than you, but one of the watershed moments in soccer in this country is obviously when Pelé came. When David Beckham came, Major League Soccer elevated from the standpoint of being the global attention, the global awareness. Now others were willing to come over and play in the league. Valuations began to grow. All these other things came off his signing. Now, MLS is in a better and much different place financially in the context of Leo Messi coming, but I agree with you 100%. I mean, I don't think it takes a championship. This guy's going to fill stadiums in every single market. For Miami, yes, they want a championship, but I think this is really an overall league signing.
Oh, I think it's great, but Pelé won, did he not? And people remember him with the Cosmos and NASL right. champion. We remember Beckham. He held that trophy over his head. He won championships. Now, listen, you can bring in Messi, which is great, but at the end of the day, you're bringing him in. You're spending that kind of money for TV rights, for more marketing, and for him and for Miami to fight for a championship. So at the end of the day, the best players in the world that have played in this league, like you said, from Beckham to Pelé, they've all won.
No question. That's undeniable. That's fact. He's Marcelo Balboa joining us here tonight. We've also had a lot of DPs come to this league that have not won titles, yet have still helped accelerate the growth of the league and the awareness of it and the excitement in individual markets, right?
Listen, there's levels of DPs that we're talking about, right? There's the lower level DPs. There's the younger player DP, the Almadas, right? Those DPs that are bringing in, they're the future. And you've got the middle of the road DPs that are maybe at that point where they're trying to figure out if they want to go back to Europe, if they want to stay here. And then you bring in the top of the echelon, that's the Beckhams, the Messis, the Ronaldos, the Lewandowskis. Those are the top players that you're looking at. Those players are expected to win. And they're so competitive that they want to win. So, yeah, I think there's different levels, and every team has to decide what level they can afford. But if you're going to afford a Messi, then you better be able to afford the surrounding talent.
Marcelo Balboa joining us. All right, to that point, let's go to Shaqiri and Insigne and Chicharito in current MLS. These are the highest paid guys in the league. Last time I looked, all three of their teams are below the playoff line and in real trouble, and you can make a judgment on them. I just saw Shaqiri get smoked last night by the Houston Dynamo 4-1. I'm not sure how interested in MLS he is, but these are three guys that are expected to bring titles to those markets.
Insigne, listen, I think that they're trying to find themselves, but I tell you what, when you watch him play, you can't question that he's not here to play. There's no way you can question that he's not here to play. Shaqiri, I think, is the other spectrum. I'm not sure that, again, surrounding talent, attitude, there's a lot of things. I don't feel like he's 100% into MLS. And then, listen, if you go back over the last 2 years, Chicharito's been pretty damn good. He's been pretty darn good scoring goals. Unfortunately, this year, injuries, surrounding talent, situation off the field with Chris Klein, and a lot of things have affected that club. But, yeah. They're expected more.
This is interesting what you said, Marcelo, about Shaqiri and Chicharito, because then you have to say, has the club been able to, LA's been a club known for having stars. We know that. Chicago has had stars too. But it's about the way the club handles the star, builds the team around him, the on and off field stuff, right?
Yep. They made the playoffs last year. Chicharito still scored his goals. This year, I think there was too many changes in the LA Galaxy side that made the playoff. And now you're fighting now to get back to where you were. Your players don't look that interested, especially on the defending side. When you see them attack in transition, when they get caught in transition, there's a lot of walking going on. So I'm a little surprised about the LA Galaxy and where they're at. Chicago's going through transition. I think Klopas is doing a better job. You know what I mean? Getting them to understand tactically what he wants. At the end of the day, you're based and you're judged on what you do on the field. If you're winning, if you're losing, if you're scoring goals. And none of those guys right now are, except for Insigne, to me, shows that they, I feel bad for Chicharito because he even said it the other day that something has to change here. Something has to change because it's not working. So what is he indicating? That maybe the coach doesn't have the right ideas, or the franchise organization is struggling because of the Chris Klein thing? So there's a lot of factors that are flying out there. But at the end of the day, you're paid to perform, or you're not performing, you're going to get criticized.
What do you think about their roster build in LA with the Galaxy in supporting Chicharito?
Listen, again, I think that they've made a few moves that they thought were going to work out and haven't worked out. I think there's always an easy scapegoat, and that was Chris Klein right now. And at the end of the day, Chris Klein is gone now. So now there's no more excuses. Now it's we must move forward. And I'm excited because I have them this weekend. I have the LA Galaxy and St. Louis. So I'm actually excited to see them play in person again and see where they're at.
That's actually an interesting game, because you're St. Louis, a team that doesn't have a lot of big names. They're blowing it up. They're winning games, selling out. LA is now in the shadows of LAFC, and then coming off all this, you know, commotion and chaos around Chris Klein. Let's see what type of response they have against a highly athletic team.
We've done a lot of games together, Glenn. You've covered Major League Soccer for 27 years. When was the last time you saw LA Galaxy in last place in the West?
Yeah, this is about as deep as I've ever seen it, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a big hole they've got to dig their way out of. And it's not in this day and age, unless you're going to go spend $20 million at the international window, you could be in trouble.
Marcelo Balboa joining us here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. You know, I like the fact that like an LAFC comes into a market and Austin FC comes into Texas, and they raise the bar. And there's a little bit of and I don't want this to be taken the wrong way, but there's a little bit of what you call healthy shaming, because the bar has been lifted. I mean, we look up in Austin, every game is sold out.
But go back. Austin may be selling out, but they're struggling compared to where they were last year because of off-field issues with Claudio Reyna on that whole situation.
Correct.
That's all. They've been struggling this year. You go back to LA now. LA, people don't believe it, but the office structure, if it's not working and there's issues, it trickles down all the way to the coach. It trickles down to the players. Both of the teams that have had off the field issues are the teams that are struggling right now.
Yeah, and I mention LAFC and Austin FC because of the awareness. They've just, you know, whether they're winning, you know, Austin FC's got its problems this year. There's no question. This was going to be a different year no matter what. But I'm just saying the fact that they continue to sell out, they're the talk of the town always. LAFC's the talk of the town. Their environments are unlike anything other. You know, the Galaxy environment compared to LAFC doesn't come close. Same thing with Austin FC in comparison to Houston and FC Dallas.
Champions League final. And I got to be honest with you, the atmosphere, Glenn, I've never heard, was it the supporters group, 90 minutes, bro. 90 minutes that stadium was singing and chanting. Yeah. Even when they went nothing, that stadium kept on singing and chanting. So the fans, can turn things around. They can electric. They light up a stadium. But at the end of the day, is LAFC as strong as they were last year? Are they as deep as they were last year? No. So that means more minutes are being played by the guys. They look, listen, against León, and that's my team. Played León.
Yeah.
They look tired. LAFC looked tired. Those guys are being run into the ground, and not Toronto's fault. It's they're not as deep as they were a year ago. If you were telling me this was a year ago with Gareth Bale and all those players, I would think you would have seen it probably maybe a different outcome. But this group is tired. Now we go back to depth, right, and organizations and where they're spending their money. So, but I think you're right. When you talk about atmosphere and what they're doing off the field, LAFC is and Austin are right up there, man.
All right, that's part one with Marcelo Balboa. Hey, I want to remind you about the huge visit this summer. I mean, this is spectacular. Real Madrid and Manchester United coming to Houston, Energy Stadium, the Champions Tour. So between that and the Gold Cup, we have amazing soccer this summer. So let's talk about it. Energy Stadium, Shell Energy Stadium, hosting 7 big matches, 4 dates. You got Real Madrid, Manchester United arriving to play in the Champions Tour in the Copa de Lone Star at Energy Stadium. Unreal opportunity to catch these two historic clubs in our backyard in Houston. Think about it. It's a great test run for World Cup 2026. Imagine that, waking up in Houston and going to see Real Madrid and Manchester United. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster and LSSE.net. Great job by LSSE and David Fletcher over at the Texans. Eric Ten Hag bringing Manchester United in. He's going to bring Bruno, Marcus Rashford. You know there's going to be a lot of change. There's going to be new stars for them. And the same with Real Madrid and Vinicius Jr. They're going to bring in some new stars as well. All the rumors are flowing right now. So there is some unknown to the rosters, which is exciting. But this is business for these two teams. And then you got the Gold Cup, and the highlight of that is Mexico-Honduras. Again, tickets at LSSE.net and Ticketmaster. It dovetails beautifully with Houston and the Houston soccer community bringing the World Cup here. And that will be in 2026. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Part two, former U.S. men's national team center back Marcelo Balboa. Here's part two, Marcelo Balboa. So, Marcelo, let me take you into this. This is the time of the year where every coach is saying, well, we have a heavy schedule. We're traveling. We've got all these challenges. The difference is what? The coaches and coaching staffs and organizations that are the best at building depth on their rosters, rotating players. I mean, what's the difference here?
I think managing load. Let's be honest. St. Louis isn't that deep, are they? I mean, they're deep. They're deep, but they're not deep in every position. Klaus has been out for a while. They're at the top of the table. So I think it's learning to manage players. It's learning when to give them a break, when to get them going. This time of year, I think it sucks to say, but some teams got knocked out of the U.S. Open Cup. That helps not having that extra game on the weekend. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of little factors, but at the end of the day, you need to have depth. And if you don't have depth in the long run, and I mean, by the time we get to September, October, November, when you're making that playoff run, those teams are fading because they have no more legs. They're dying to run. So listen, the teams you see win are not the teams that are always spending tons of money, but they're in good form. Look at Portland 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when they reached the final against NYCFC, 2 years ago, I think it was. They didn't have a great season, but they made a run at the right time. They made a run right towards the end. Next thing you know, they're in MLS Cup final and they're hosting. So it's which coach can manage the amount of players they have, because some teams only have really 16, 17 deep that they can go. Who can manage that load the best is the team. I think right now you look at St. Louis, they've done the best job of managing that load of players, because listen, you see Lubin on the field all the time. Strout's on the field all the time. You don't see a lot of changes in that lineup, and they're still finding ways to win.
Aggressive as they are in their playing style, is that something that could hurt them long-term over the course of a long MLS season, the amount of energy they put in?
Again, I've been around this league 27 years, either as a player, as a broadcaster. I have yet to see a Jesse Marsh Red Bulls team that presses you all over the field reach an MLS Cup final. Am I wrong? And that's the closest you find to what St. Louis does, is what the Red Bulls used to do, press you and press you and press you. So we'll see what happens. Maybe Bradley can, maybe tweak it a little bit. He's learned something. But I've yet to see a team that presses the way they do for 9 months be able to reach an MLS Cup.
Marcelo Balboa joining us, former U.S. men's national team captain, played in numerous World Cups. You know him. I know him. If I go back to an example, maybe I can make the last World Cup, the amount of effort put in by the core players on the U.S. team in that World Cup, I believe this is not necessarily the most perfect example, but I think by the time they got to the Netherlands, fatigue was an issue because how much they put into those first three games. And that's just kind of what I wonder with all the pressing. And I want to see if St. Louis and their coaching staff at some point, when it gets a lot hotter here, maybe their tactics change a little bit. Maybe they manage games a little bit better. Maybe they hold the ball a little bit more. Some of those things I think could be interesting.
I hope people don't get it the wrong way. I'm not saying that the St. Louis team can't reach the final. Okay. I think that it's difficult. I think it's proven in this league that teams that press like that for 9 months have a hard time reaching the final. Can they tweak things? Listen, we've been able to do, I think, five or six of St. Louis's games, and their staff, their field, their organization, their franchise is fantastic. And the way they manage the players and the way they deal with the players, I think that they have a good chance if they can maintain the workload of certain players. This is a team that can go far. Okay. So, but history has shown in this league that in the summertime, June, July, August, September, it gets pretty freaking hot and humid. And can you maintain that kind of ability? I think the only difference in St. Louis is they drop into a low block and they hold that low block and they hit you quickly on transition and they hit you quickly on counterattacks. I think that saves their legs a little bit. We'll see, man. It's a long season. You still got Leagues Cup. You got more games than you've ever had before in the history of this league, between U.S. Open Cup, Leagues Cup, league play. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think it's going to be a very interesting year.
All right. A couple of quick ones here before we go. U.S. is going to end up here on June 15th. This is the Nations League? I don't even remember all these names anymore.
Las Vegas. They have Mexico on the 15th, and then we'll see what happens after that.
Yeah, that's Nations League, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And Panama will play Canada. The allure of U.S.-Mexico, is it still as great as it once was? I know it is from the attendance standpoint and the fan standpoint. Are we maybe demystifying it a little bit with the volume of games between these two teams, or is it just still business as usual? What a great rivalry.
Listen, I think it's still a huge rivalry here in the United States. I think it makes it even more interesting right now because we've been in transition between coaches as Anthony Hudson leaves, Greg Berhalter leaves. We go into our third coach. The Mexican Federation is dying to beat us. You saw how they celebrated the other day over LAFC and León, how they took that as they even told me on air. They're like, how do you feel? And this, we were doing a show back to Mexico, La Jugada. They said to me, how do you feel now that Mexico beat a U.S. team? And I'm like, León beat LAFC. He goes, now that we're starting to get the momentum back. And I said, well, you're not getting the momentum back. That's a club team. This is not a national team. But you can see where they were leading this. This is their spark to going back to wanting to dominate the United States. So, yes, this is a huge game, especially when we bring in a full team. Even though we don't have a coach, not a head coach yet, an official one that's been signed. So, yeah, I think this is a huge game because the fact that you want to reach that final, you want to retain that title, you want to defend that title, this is a huge step going into the summer. So, yes, this is a huge game for the United States in Las Vegas to reach the final. And, you know, playing against Panama or Mexico is, let's be honest. Everybody's talking about who's the third team that's fighting to be the number one team in CONCACAF, and that's Canada. So,
Marcelo Balboa joining us. By the way, Anthony Hudson, who was in charge of the U.S., when he stepped down, I think we all thought, well, he must have a job somewhere else. He does. He's going to go to Qatar, so probably a great opportunity for him in a number of ways there. BJ Callahan takes over. What type of coach do you want to see next for the U.S.?
Wow. I keep talking about it doesn't have to be an American. I think the easiest choice is to go hire Jesse Marsh, and I hope they don't do that. And no disrespect to Jesse, but, you know, there's going to be so many candidates in the next 6 months that are out there. I would love to see a coach, and I said this the other day, I'd love to see a coach who's got World Cup experience. If he doesn't have World Cup experience, because I think when you look at the United States, we tend to hire an American coach. He gets his first international experience, and then he's gone for the next World Cup, right? So I'd like to see a coach be hired with World Cup experience that can get this group and knows what a World Cup's about. Or I'd like to see a coach from Europe that knows these players that has been successful in European leagues. And I keep bringing up Jurgen Klopp because he was at Borussia Dortmund. He knows Pulisic. He knows Reina. He knows all these guys. Guys, somebody like that knows the American player and has that clout to be able to take this team further is what U.S. soccer is kind of looking for.
And you know what's going on right now, Marcelo. People are going, no way, Marcelo. It's got to be an American coach. It's got to be an American coach.
Listen, it's an Argentine coach because you have a Messi. We don't have a Lionel Messi. So we got to find a coach. Like, listen, I think Jesse would be a nice candidate, right? But Jesse hasn't been successful in Europe, right? When he went to the Bundesliga, he didn't do well there. He went to Leeds, he didn't do well there. They also got relegated. He got three Americans on that team. Now they're relegated, except for Aronson, who has an out clause. So at the end of the day, listen, I think it's different for a national team. Could he do a good job? Yes, Jesse could do a good job. There's no doubt about it. But I think that we've got to stop being closed-minded and open our minds up a little bit to outside sources and outside coaches who potentially have the knowledge and the experience that could get this young team into that next level.
How excited are you about Ballerin Balogun committing himself to the U.S.? Of course, it's the point of contention position, the striker position. He's at Reims. He's scoring in France. He's an Arsenal loan player to Reims. How exciting is that to you? And what do you think really moved his decision to come to the U.S. national team?
I think that he sees the young talent of players we have. I think he sees a sure way to play in the World Cup in 2026 because we're already guaranteed there's no qualifying. Listen, I'm excited if he scores goals. If he comes in and doesn't score goals, then I'm not excited. How's that? So I'm excited for a forward that's going to put the ball in the back of the net consistently for the United States, something we haven't had since Eric Winalda, Brian McBride, Landon Donovan. So ever since those guys have left, we haven't found that striker that can put the ball in the back of the net that's a constant threat. So I'm excited if he's that kind of player. If he's not that kind of player and he doesn't put the ball in the back of the net, because listen, scoring goals in a league game and scoring goals on the national team at the national team level are completely different. We've seen guys that have torn it up in leagues but have a hard time scoring at the international level. So for me, it's great. I think it's a great addition. But at the end of the day, you need to score goals for this team and this country.
I like what you said about the young guys, because I think when you're a young guy, I think when you look at the overall national team and the spirit of some of these younger players, I think that is a selling point with the U.S. for guys like Fowler and Balogun to be a part of that. And you made another great point. You're assured you're going to be in a World Cup.
Yeah. I mean, listen, between Mexico, Canada, the United States, you're guaranteed a World Cup at least. You know what I mean? So I'm just more disappointed with the under-20s, to be honest with you. I don't know what you think, but that team was too good to lose 2-0 and not play well. And not, I was just disappointed. I was expecting a lot more with the under-20s.
Marcelo, do you see any players on the under-20s that, you know, could platform in the next 2 years and potentially be a part of the World Cup? I'm not sure I see that with what's in front of them depth-wise.
No, I would have said yes after the first 2 games. And then after the last 2 games, I started looking and evaluating the roster that came out the other day for Nations League. And I'm thinking to myself, who are you going to take off that team besides maybe a Tim Ream? We all know he's going to time out before the next World Cup. Tell me who you would take off that team right now to put one of the under-20s. Listen, the under-20s will have 3 or 4 players that will be on that World Cup team in 2026. Okay? But which 3 right now, I don't know. I'd like to say Kalen Cowell. I mean, huge. Cowell was big, strong, fast. But again, are you going to take Tim Weah off? Are you going to take Tim Ream? I mean, are you going to take Reyna off? So I don't know, man. I got to be honest with you. I was led to false hope after I watched the Uruguay game and how they played, and just disappointed.
Well, Marcelo, let's wrap it up. Have a great call this week and this weekend. We really appreciate you coming on. A great interview with you. Thank you so much, as always, for coming on. We bounced around on a lot of great topics. Thank you.
Anytime, my friend. And next time I call, I'll be the second time I call in, a second time listener. So we're good.
All right, that does it tonight for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Word here for LamontBrands.com. Get your Soccer Matters t-shirts. All the proceeds go to the Snowdrop Foundation, a 501c charity that provides scholarships to cancer patients, awareness, and fundraising. Show is a platform, as always, this show, Soccer Matters, for spreading pediatric cancer awareness. Get your t-shirts, get your hats, LamontBrands.com. It's easy. The t-shirts, beautiful light cotton. All right, that's going to do it tonight. Remind you, we would love it if you subscribe to the Soccer Matters podcast at Spotify, Apple, and Google. You can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Sock at Soccer Matters GD. For producer extraordinaire, yeah, he goes by the name of AC, Andrew Carlson, Guillermo Lazo Romero, We thank you for tuning in here tonight to Soccer Matters. Next week, we will be on Tuesday. And then after that, it's every Thursday, our new time. Until next Tuesday night, remember, soccer matters.